And you can see this morning's sermon title, Oh, Be Careful, Little Mouths, What We Say, which is where more than a few of us get in trouble. It's not necessarily that what we say isn't true. You've heard the saying, the proverb as it were, sometimes the truth hurts. It's not that what we say isn't accurate, but sometimes what we say can still be unwise to be uttered. There was an occasion, probably I am one of the least outspoken people in my family, which make holidays a great joy to be at. Some of the things that are said and places to go, we're a very lively family, and I'm talking about my parents. And I have three brothers, and of course, each of us married a woman that was at least twice as outspoken as we are. And so it's an interesting thing when we come together, because things will be said. Well, something was said to my father one time, and he shared his opinion about the president, and my mother called me and said, should we be worried about the Secret Service? And I said, you know, the fact that every Wadetsky on the planet isn't already in jail, I'm sure that the Secret Service has a special file cabinet just for our family. That's okay, but it is an important thing to remember that when we are speaking, that we do have to have some restraint. It's a difficult thing for most of us to learn, and I understand that. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to be looking a little bit at being careful with what we say. Now, Proverbs has a major theme that runs through it. It's wickedness versus righteousness. Now, wickedness and righteousness tend to be on opposite ends of the spectrum. Wickedness, we know, is literally rebellion against God, where righteousness is doing the right thing, walking on the path that we're supposed to be walking on. Even when we say the truth, even if we say what needs to be said, it can still turn out to be wicked if what we say, we say to intend to hurt someone. Now, sometimes we say the truth and someone is completely devastated by it. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because quite honestly, oftentimes the truth isn't said enough. And especially, it's not said enough in churches and from pulpits. Because pastors, above all things, don't like to hurt people's feelings. But sometimes that can be a detriment, and often it is. I tend not to be in that quite category. I try to fit in that category. I try to say what I say and couch it in sometime type of love, but it turns out that I have a very short leash. And so sometimes I will actually avoid a situation because I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And that can be actually a sinful thing. Because too often we all, especially Westsiders, avoid telling the truth. And we do so for a righteous reason. We avoid the truth because we don't want to hurt another person's feelings. Amen? Very quiet. Am I totally wrong, or are you just being very quiet today? Are we still depressed? Do we need Prozac from last week's victory? The Steelers' victory, is that... Are we still... It's like... Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed, oh, I'm so glad he washed my sins away. Should be, oh, happy day, right? You're saying, oh. You guys watch that, what's the Disney show, Color? Do we know what we're talking about, Color? And there's this little blue girl, she's, I'm so happy. Inside Out. Anyone see Inside Out? If you haven't seen Inside Out, you have an assignment this week. Watch Inside Out. Because there is a girl on that show and she's Baptist from the West Side. She's related somehow to Eeyore. It's a great show. If you haven't seen Inside Out, watch Inside Out. What does it have to do with our sermon this morning? Absolutely nothing. Wickedness is and righteousness are a theme that run through the book of Proverbs and the book of the Bible as a whole, because basically it puts into categories the people who strive to seek the will of the Lord and those who rebel against Him. And oftentimes, in fact, more often than not, it shows through what we say. That's why we sing this song. Kyle probably knew I was going to try to sing this morning if he didn't sing it. Proverbs 10, 9 and 10. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. And very subtly I wrote up there, blah, 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 blah. Because the more we speak, the more opportunity there is to blow it. I beat myself up when something slips out that I really wish, gosh, I wish I had just stopped just before that, like, fell out. Have we not all experienced that in our lives? It is a common thing, and the Bible is really just saying the more you speak, the more odds there are that you're going to sin. You're going to say something that isn't true. You're going to hurt someone in a way that you didn't intend, or betray a trust or a confidence. This is King Solomon's way of saying, before you say something that you shouldn't, please shut up. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it says this, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles, for they think they will be heard by their many words. The more words you use do not make you look more important. God will not hear you more. It does not make you better. It gives you a bigger chance of blowing it. God says in His Word, if you do it when you're praying, I'm not going to hear you any better. It goes on to say in that same section, God already knows what you're going to ask. Sometimes the best way to pray is silently. We've talked about prayer before, and I won't do the whole thing because I only get to preach one sermon this morning. Two-thirds of our prayer life needs to be in absolute silence, listening for the response. God has a lot to say. But imagine if someone comes to your house to visit you, or better yet, you're going to ride in the car with them, and you never get the opportunity to speak because they talk and they talk and they talk and they talk, and you try to say something, but you never get to finish. There was a person I knew one time, and we were riding in a car, and Tish was in the car. I'm not mentioning any names, but we're riding in this car. When we got out of the car, I was shaking, literally shaking, because he never stopped. I didn't know. I was like, he can't be alive. There's got to be something shoved in him that just goes on and on and on. And how do you even breathe? But you don't develop a relationship if you don't stop. I know my mother's voice because I speak to my mother and I listen to her. If she calls and says, hello, I will know her instantly because I hear her voice because I stop long enough to hear her. She knows my voice because she stops long enough to hear me. Do we know God's voice when He speaks? And if we don't, is it because we don't stop to listen? God says, you can talk all you want when you pray, but I won't hear you any better. I already know. There's nothing about you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, inside out, that He doesn't know about you. Your thoughts, your heart, your mind, your actions, He gets it. It's a good thing with God to let Him do the speaking. So He says, when words are many, transgression is lacking. And then James puts it this way, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And if I were preaching just at myself, I would say, and when you're angry, sew your mouth shut. Right? Because if I'm going to say something I oughtn't, it's going to happen when I'm angry. Is this not universal? How many in here have hit your little toe against a coffee table? Or hit your hand with that hammer? There are times when it just seems that some words are very, very appropriate. Even though the Bible says you can't use those words, it's like, okay, Jesus, you've never had a coffee table and hit your little toe against it. It's one of those things, and that's when it happens, when we're weak, when we're hurt, when we're angry, when we're upset, and we just say it. Not always is it sin, but rarely is it good. Proverbs 10:20 says this, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Basically worthless. When a righteous person speaks into your life and they say, you know what, you are gifted, you are talented, I am proud of you, you are special, God loves you, you're a child of the King, These are things that are true about every single person on the face of the earth, and a righteous person will say those things. A wicked person, their heart is of little worth, because they do little to build into the child of the king. They do nothing but destroy and tear down and break apart. There was a lady in a town we were at in California, and she was, I guess, a life coach for women. And she would invite them over and do Bible studies with them. And then these women, once they were totally destroyed and pulled apart and no longer feeling any type of worth, would end up in my office just pouring their heart out about what terrible people they are. And I would say, how do you know this? And they would say, well, we were at a Bible study with this woman, and she pointed it out. And so one day, a lady in our church said, oh, this lady invited me, and I'm going to go over to her house and study the Bible. I said, you know, I want you to talk to someone for me. I didn't mention any names. I said, I want you to go talk to this person and let her tell you the experience. And she came back and she said, thank you for rescuing me from a bad choice. Because the mouth of a wicked person can destroy people. Their heart is of little worth. That's their goal in life. Remember, God's goal in life is to build you up, to make you all that you can be, more in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Satan is a lion who seeks to destroy and to devour, to tear down and to tear apart. If you're in a relationship with someone that is constantly tearing you down and destroying you, identify where that relationship is. Now, if you're married to that person, it's a hard one to go. You're going to have to pray your way through it. But if this is just a quote-unquote friend who is tearing you down constantly, it's better to walk away from someone who is trying to destroy you than to stay and be destroyed. Sometimes you just have to walk away from that, but you have to begin by identifying it. That's why Proverbs is writing this. Look, one way we know a righteous person from a wicked person is what they say. Not that, let me tell you, the most righteous of people say some of the worst things from time to time. And some of the most wicked people seem to say the right thing. But do they match up with the Word of God? Proverbs 25:11 says this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. A word fitly spoken, said in the right time, in the right moment, in the right way, with the right heart, is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken. Because you can say the same thing in the wrong time, and it just tears someone apart. Amen? If I were to say to you, you just won the lottery, and I'll say, well, praise God, isn't His will marvelous? Oh, yes, amen, brother. And don't forget a tithe on that. But if you had just lost someone very dear to you, and I said the same exact thing, same words, same intonation, same heart, both true, but words that are fitly spoken at the right time, in the right frame, in the right reference, are like apples of gold in settings of silver. The hard thing is, when we begin to understand the difficulties, not only of what is said, but what is heard. I can say some things to people, they totally get it, they know me well enough, even if I blow it, they form it somewhere between the ear canal and their brain. My words go through a transformation that by the time it gets into the cerebral cortex that processes it, it's like, oh yeah, well, but he said that, so this is what he meant. Right? We know people that way. But some people we don't know, they can say the same exact thing, and it comes into our brain completely different. There's a point. Sometimes people we love and people we don't know say things that hurt us. We've all been hurt by something someone said. Amen? Have we ever been hurt by someone to find out later that's not what they meant? Yes. We need to have grace with people. We need to not only listen to their words, but listen to their heart. To not only understand the sound vibrations that are entering the ear, but to really try to get the intent. Are they trying to hurt me? Or are they trying to just be a friend? When someone passes away, a family member, a spouse, a child, there's a Jewish custom, I guess it is. When someone passes away, you go to their house, you clean, you cook, you wash windows, you sit, oh, what is this word? Shiva? Shiva. Where you're just there. You don't say anything. You're just there. And they know that. Right after Tish and I got married, there was a helicopter crash. One of Tish's good friends was killed in that crash. And I didn't know these people from Adam. Augie died. I had heard the name. I had briefly met him, never met his wife that I remember. We had only been married a couple months. We go over to Janet's house. I didn't know anybody there. I didn't know her. What am I going to say? I'm sorry for your loss. I didn't know him. I didn't know her. I didn't know. All I knew was I felt bad for my wife because a good friend died. So I didn't say a word. But I kind of straightened up here and there, and I kind of put keys in certain places and, you know, tried to make sure paper towels were in the paper towel holder or whatever. And she said, a couple years later, I just appreciated that so much. Didn't really know her. Didn't say a word. I didn't know what to say. So it's oftentimes not what we say, but our actions. But when someone is saying an abundance, sometimes it's more important to listen to their heart than their words. Sometimes people have no idea what to say, so they say too much. Instead of having no idea what to say and saying too little. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools, and in this phrase, fools are literally this word, this Hebrew form of it means perverse, not right. So they've chosen a different path. They're not the righteous, but the wicked. They die because they don't have any sense. The Bible teaches guidance and direction. Common sense, really. If you look in the Word of God, this is something that I've discussed, especially with Mike several times, is that the Word of God is common sense in so many ways. It's just basic knowledge. And God says it's the little things, the basis that we get involved in. It's not all this other stuff the world heaps on us. That's what gets us into trouble. It's just listening to the Word of God. And this is what Solomon is saying, is the lips of the righteous feed many. God says, do this. God says, don't do this. But if we look at the Ten Commandments, just the foundation of the Ten Commandments says, put your house in order, worship God, love your family. The world says, there is no God, and wants to redefine family or make it disappear altogether. Think about when I was raised in the 70s and 80s, divorce at that time was so frowned upon. Regardless of the circumstances, often to a fault. Today, you can marry anyone you choose. Same sex, different sex, no sex. You can now, as it's pushing forward, marry as many as you choose, whether you want to have one wife or two wives or three wives, or and it's welcome and honest on TV. Polyamory, have as many husbands as you like. You can mix and match, and where does this go? Are you telling me honestly that I can have one wife and then marry another wife, and the first wife not be jealous? Really? And I look at that, I'm thinking of this show on TV that he has, what, three wives or four wives? And I'm like, well, how many body bags fit in a trunk? This does not work. This is why God says no. It is right for a man to have a helper. He used a singular word there. One, I looked for him a helpmate, a partner. Not a herd of partners or a flock of partners or a congress of partners or whatever you might call it. One, I looked for him a partner, someone to love that would love him, for him to help that could help him, that would reflect the relationship that Christ has with the church. And we've so perverted that, that it's difficult for us to understand the message that God is trying to get across. Matthew 12, 36 and 37, often misquoted verse, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Often it's quoted as, you will be judged for the words you speak. It's not what the Bible says. You're not going to be judged for every word you speak. You're going to be judged for the careless words you speak, the ones that you're not careful to say. So when you are speaking in abundance, you're going to have many more careless words than you would if you said very few. 37 says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, by your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is oftentimes so difficult for us to know when to speak and when to be quiet. Lord, we know that oftentimes it's the things we say that get us into the most trouble. Lord, we pray that we would be a people that would be careful with what we say. Lord, your word says that just with the tongue, a great forest fire can be started. With very small utterances, persecution often starts. So, Father, we pray that you would guard our hearts and our tongues. Father, that our hearts would be turned toward you, that we would be a people that love you and worship you and are careful in all that we say and all that we do. Truly, you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.